Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
What's good, internet? It is June 9th, 2017, and you are listening to Waypoint Radio. E3 is just about here. It is Friday. Tomorrow will be like the first day of events. We're going to go out to EA Play, which is not anywhere near where E3 is, unfortunately, frustratingly. And then after that, there's all of the press conferences all throughout the weekend and on Monday. And, you know, we are actually recording this a couple days ahead of time, so we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, kind of what we think is going to happen, what we want to happen. There are a couple of embargoes that are over that I can now talk about after my Judges Week experiences. But I guess just like big picture. Like, Patrick, you've been writing a couple stories about what Sony and Microsoft are going to probably do or what they need to do. Danielle and Rob, we've had these talks, you know, kind of in our Discord and just with each other. Like, oh, what are we looking forward to? Is there anything, any announcements we're hoping for? Where are we at on E3 right now? What are we feeling?
I'm just very upset that there's supposedly not going to be anything on Death Stranding, the M-Preg, you know, the game we all wanted. The game we all know and love. That's all I want. I just want bananas bullshit. That's all I want from E3 anymore.
So we are not currently recording video of this episode, but I need everyone listening at home to know that our new intern, Natalie. Hi, Natalie. When Danielle said M-Preg, Natalie's eyes darted up as if a human had been shot in front of her, which is fair. That's fair.
You know?
No Death Stranding, though. Kojima will be there because part of the announcement today that came out, we were recording this a couple days earlier again, of the E3 Coliseum, which are these like panels, kind of PAX-style panels, or Comic-Con-style panels, I guess is probably closer, is that Hideo Kojima and who's going to be in that panel with him? Does anybody remember?
It's a director of it's a film director.
It is a film director.
Oh, it's the director of Kong Skull Island. If you do a search for like the Kong Skull Island video game references, there'll be a bunch of articles that this is a guy that for a long time has been attached to a Metal Gear Solid adaptation, and so he's like met with Kojima about it, and in Kong Skull Island, which I haven't seen because I barely go to movies anymore. Get that shit up on iTunes so I can rent it, please. There's a bunch of like very specific homages to video games. Like there are like shots on the island that are like pulls from Journey and like.
Gotcha.
So it's not like, hey, I love Mario. Like, this guy is, like, very specific.
people like Mario sometimes,
yeah,
Patrick.
Do.
Don't drag him.
Yeah, I know, but that's, like, it's like, like, video games. Like, bleep, bloop.
Right.
It's like, no, like, he, like, set up a shot and snuck in a reference to Journey. Like, I have a lot of respect
that's
for
good.
That.
Fair.
It's Jordan Vogt Roberts, I think, is...
Good name. Yeah, that's his
name. It's a good name,
that
yeah.
That is his name.
All right.
So, yeah, that stuff will be happening. Hideo Kojima will be there, but there will be no Death Stranding. What else don't we expect to be at E3? That's actually a good game.
Hmm.
What else is not Final Fantasy VII? Is
Prey
Final Fantasy
II?
VII going to show up?
Oh, there'll be a trailer. There'll be 6 seconds of new footage. First episode coming. First episode coming in 2020.
Shenmue?
No Shenmue on stage.
That's
no
what I'm
way.
They already said Shenmue will not be there, despite the fact that their Kickstarter says that game is shipping in December.
That game's not shipping in December.
Never. December 2021.
Stuff that will never show up. Red Dead won't show up.
Yeah.
Also delayed, obviously, and also Rockstar just doesn't care about E3 apparently. Not enough to show up there, which is fair.
I will say that that game was supposed to be at E3 last year.
That's true.
There was a trailer for Red Dead.
That's right.
That was supposed to premiere last
and then,
year.
Tragically,
and then, yeah, there was a
tragically
a
there was a shooting
at,
in Orlando,
right.
So they skipped on that. That's true. That's true.
That's
so maybe
fair.
They will show up again. Maybe they'll show up and just say, hey, we have exclusive content for one console or something. That's true. Any other big names that aren't going to show up or that you wish would show up? Prey 2 by Human Head Studios.
Like I said,
no, the old Prey 2. Prey 2, 2013.
Prey 2. Right, the dude in the beanie.
The dude in the beanie who's a space bounty hunter probably won't show up.
I'm very sad about that.
Hitman.
Ugh.
Oh, come on.
Ugh.
Hitman.
Oh, it hurts.
Probably won't show up.
This is the saddest segment.
Like, oh, my God.
What are we doing here?
Welcome to E3 from Waypoint.
What would you like the industry to give you?
And it won't.
Never will.
And it'll never will. Mm. All right, so we'll pivot, Rob, for you and me, Mr. Positive. What are you looking forward to? What are the things that you think will be there and you're, like, excited to see the pitch?
So I'm actually really excited to sort of, like, take a look at the new Total War Warhammer.
Oh,
Total Warhammer 2, as I will inevitably start calling it.
Yep.
And in part, like, this is my feelings here are mixed, because on the one hand, I can't think of another case where Creative Assembly made two Total War games in such quick succession about the same topic. Like, usually, like, they revisit every topic just about, but usually there's, like, a gap between them and, like, a sort of generational shift in terms of engine.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually just really interested to see, like, what they're going to be, how they're going to sort of be reinventing a game that was already pretty cool and doing a really interesting... what if it was like Renaissance European warfare, but with like vampires and shit? I'm actually really interested to see like the next iteration of that.
It's more. So I played that, and the embargo on that was actually up a couple days ago. I played that at Judges Week, and it's more of the thing you played, except different factions and a different map. Like, it doesn't seem like they're making any big changes to the way that stuff works. They're talking about this game as if it's a trilogy, and in what I saw, it reminded me of old-school big expansions more than a proper, than, like, what you think of as a numbered RTS sequel or strategy game sequel. So it's I mean, here's the pitch. Ready? What if Warhammer, what if Total Warhammer won, except this time there are sun-worshipping lizards who also have dinosaurs that they ride around on, and also the dinosaurs can shoot lasers sometimes.
I mean, that sounds pretty good.
Finally, it's the Age of Mythology sequel I've been waiting for.
No, that's it. So that's like one of the big factions. Is that there's some new stuff. I don't want to downplay that there's nothing new. There's some cool stuff with the factions. There's cool stuff with starting at different parts of this map. The map seems really cool. There's a huge like magical cyclone at the center of one of the starting positions for one of the elves. There's like a it seems like a good thing, but like I don't think if you bounced off of the first Total War Warhammer, there's nothing in their pitch that makes me think this is the one you'll jump in on. One of the things that's interesting is down the not at launch but soon after they talked about like being able to hook up with the previous game, and so like that could be a cool thing if you're really into that first game. Combining those two games and seeing like how all that plays out could be really cool. What else are people excited about?
I'm not sure if it's gonna be. Oh, sorry, Patrick, you go ahead. You have a lot to be excited about. I know.
I want to know. Uh-huh. To record how much time Knack 2 is given at Sony's. Press conference, like the Cerny debt, how that they're working
the
off.
The Cerny debt, yeah,
Like the only reason that game exists, the only reason that game got a sequel is Cerny debt, and so like they got to give it a spot at the press, right? Like they have to, they have to give it a spot.
Open with Knack 2, and then get it out of the way.
That would, oh my god, please do it,
please do it.
I heard the chef's kiss there.
What if there's
yes?
What if there's a man in a Knack suit, and then a second man in a second Knack suit, Knack 2, put it together. And then one of them takes his head off, and inside is Mark Cerny. And then another one takes his head off, and it's Mark Cerny, but spelled differently with a C instead of a K, or a K instead of a C. I never get his name right. And it's there were twins the whole time.
Wow.
And that's the reveal, Knack 2, coming this fall. Is that when Knack, when's Knack 2 coming?
Yes, it's coming on Knack O'Clock. I don't know. There's got to be a month with Knack.
Knack 2 release date.
Sometime this fall.
I'm the first person, it says here. I'm the first person to type in Knack 2 release date into Google. Weird.
you get some Google credit if you're the first one to search for something.
Sure. So Knack 2, that's fun. I'm curious to see the pitch. Again, for me, E3 is like, how are you going to sell this? How are you going to pitch this to people? This is the big stage. How do you convince someone that Knack 2 is the thing that they're going to want to play? I'm not dissing on Knack. Knack is fine. We'll play Knack at some point in the future.
Yes, we will.
I think you have to.
And we'll play Knack 2.
Knack to Knack.
2.
Knack to Knack.
Okay.
But I think actually I'm genuinely curious to see. It sounds like based on the fact that like Nintendo is doing signups in Canada to have like Super Mario Odyssey kiosks.
Yeah.
Yep.
I feel like that's a I'm looking for whatever signs I can get that
it's
tipping
coming.
Of the hand yeah. that game is actually going to ship this year. You know, Eurogamer, mm-hmm. there's a very strong track record of reporting, said that, you know, had reported prior to around the time the Switch launched and after we'd seen Super Mario Odyssey that that game is essentially done and they're just sitting on it as a way of padding out sort of the Switch release schedule. That's like the thing that every Nintendo fan would love to. The Nintendo fan wants to hear that's the thing they're doing, but mm-hmm. does not believe it could be true. So mm-hmm. I'm very much looking forward to playing that game because it is Super Mario 3D Land, Super Mario 3D World, the Galaxy games. Like those are like my everything in terms of sort of like my pure fandom. And so I'm excited to play that. I'm excited to see what that game actually is because I think that trailer was like deliberately oblique in terms of what actually is going on in
yeah.
that game. Like, what is New Donk City? You know, I'm looking forward to finding more about the
It's
mythology.
A level, right? Like, that's the... I love New Donk City. It's a level, right? That's what it's going to be?
Or a world.
Or maybe
world.
It's a hub.
Right. The hub. Okay, maybe it's a hub.
The way that Galaxy had, like, different galaxies were kind of different
yes.
worlds
yes.
and then within
But, like,
them,
that trailer also had, like, a candy-looking place.
It
and,
did.
And, like, some other zones.
Bubbly stuff.
A bubbly place.
Yeah.
Yeah, all the zones.
And then the other one, which sounds like it'll probably get announced, although we don't know for sure, is that there were some leaked screenshots and artwork for a Life is Strange prequel.
Right.
So there is already a Life is Strange sequel confirmed to be made by Don't Nod, the original developers
Correct.
Of Life is Strange. They haven't given any indications of what that game is, if it's going to pick up with the characters from the original game. Like, there has been a theory that I've hoped for that they would just turn Life is Strange into an
yeah,
anthology
that's
series.
That's what I
that
want.
Like,
I want an anthology series. I don't want
yeah,
to
I wanted
see
something
more.
Tonally similar to Life is Strange, and maybe even in the same world, like
yeah.
so that they could do
references,
like, fun nods and cameos,
yes.
but that it was largely separated from the events of Life is Strange.
It's Don't Nod, not Fun Nod. So
right.
Don't.
They're not nodding. They're just...
Don't Nod.
Don't Nod, not
gotcha.
Fun Nod.
Oh. Gotcha. So
I'm curious what the game is. Like, it's not that I wouldn't want to learn more about those characters, except that I left that game not feeling the need to learn about their past. Like, I felt like so much of... part of what was strong about that game was the implied relationship between them and, like, what they had gone through in the past. So I'm not saying it can't be good. I will happily play it. I will take more of those characters. Is it going to be sci-fi? Are they going to ditch that conceit? Like, there's a lot of questions I have about how they actually.
Well, it's
set
time
that
travel,
up.
Right? Like, it's just going to, it'll send you back somehow, and now you have powers again, right? They've had that rewind thing in two or three different games of theirs now.
Yeah.
That was in Remember
right.
Me Too, right? So,
yeah.
like, it's not like they're going to ditch that, I don't think. I don't know. Maybe they will. Maybe they'll just do a straight up adventure. Or maybe the prequel will not have that. Maybe the prequel, which probably won't come from Don't Nod, won't have any of that stuff, and it'll just be something else.
Yep.
But yeah, I'm curious to see what that is, especially because Don't Nod if you've played, you know, like Remember Me, they have a very specific aesthetic,
yeah.
And I mean that like in terms of tone and everything, and that is like slightly off, but is endearing throughout a lot of their work, and that seems like a difficult thing to replicate.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Yeah. I'm curious, and that's probably more than I can say for a lot of games. So I want to see more from it.
One for me is, and I'm actually just curious to see what people think about this because it's a real game. It's a real game, and it's
okay.
coming out soon, and it's going to be at E3. And in fact, I think it's info will have dropped yesterday, if you're listening to this. Fortnite is real.
Oh.
Fortnite, the game.
It's a real game.
It's a real game, and no one has talked. They announced that, what, 2013, 2014?
A while ago, yeah.
And it was supposed to be the first of the games using the most recent version of the Unreal Engine, Unreal Engine 5?
That's a good guess.
I think it's Unreal Engine 5.
Yeah.
It's 4. It's Unreal Engine
okay.
4. And it was at the pre-E3 Judges Week thing, and I got to play some Fortnite, not there, but since then, they sent out code, and that game exists. And is different than what I thought it would be. So Fortnite, when it was first pitched, looked sort of like just a horde mode from Gears of War, in which you would like come under attack, and I thought it would just be that, basically. And you'd build stuff, you'd build traps, and then enemies would bounce into the traps, and you'd kill the enemies. And all that's there. But there's also this meta structure that I didn't anticipate at all, in which you have different characters that you can play as, who has different special abilities. You have a huge research tree. You're kind of building out, almost building out a base, like not in terms of like what it structurally looks like XCOM, but recruiting characters, finding characters, like unlockable characters from packs, basically. Hmm. Or it's not really packs. There's a weird loot system where you can have like a scientist or like a medic or whatever that are giving you passive bonuses or that are doing research for you back at base to unlock new abilities. And then all of that turns into then those horde mode missions where you are out in a really cool world and you're building bases and are digging through things with your pickaxe. And it's been kind of fun. Like, I haven't put a ton of hours into it or anything like that, this preview build. But that's coming out soon also. Like, that's kind of the thing that's exciting for me is I like it when things at E3 are like, oh, hey, guess what? Like, this is coming this summer. And Fortnite is coming, like, in late July. I think it might be on my birthday. It's, like, July 25th or something like that. So, like...
Or something like that.
It's somewhere in there. Okay. It's somewhere in the end of July. And I remember thinking one of these games is coming out on my birthday at the Judges Week thing. I think it's this one. I'm not 100% sure. So I'm really excited for people to see that that's a real thing and, like, have a response to it, especially in the post-Overwatch world because it's very character-driven and, like... Pixar adjacent, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
Like very like
that style.
Oh, cartoony, but like a little tiny bit of a mature edge to it, like a playful, like late teen edge to it.
Yeah.
So I'm curious about that. I'm excited for people to see it.
That sounds pretty cool.
What else? What else is going on that people are have feelings about?
I mean, I'm most excited about Mario, but I'm also excited about the fact that this might be nothing, but it stirs a little bit of hope in my Double Fine heart that Jack Black and Tim Schafer have a panel or whatever they're calling it at the Coliseum to talk about. Now, that doesn't mean I need Brutal Legend 2.
You need Brutal Legend 2.
I might not need a sequel to that game. It's one of my favorite games, but something that speaks to that level of... Maybe, if not budget, at least like creative collaboration that made something like Brutal Legend awesome. That, and of course, I'm curious to see if Psychonauts 2 is around. There was the Psychonauts
Good
VR
question.
Game that came out that I didn't hear much about other than...
It exists.
You know, it exists, and it seemed really cool, and it was a cool adventure game.
Yeah.
But obviously, I know VR stuff is another question. I know that's something that, Patrick, you wrote about today as well. Or not today. Sorry, a few days ago. As well.
I mentioned that in the analysis. Yeah, I guess it's a few days ago when this podcast goes up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing I'm looking for, hopefully, from E3 is to see, like, what Sony's level of commitment to VR is. You know, in that they released, like, a really solid, you know, price-friendly, you know, consumer VR product. And, you know, Resident Evil 7 was great, and there was some cool stuff at launch that was promising, and you know some of the games that have gotten VR support along the way, like that Nog puzzler game is cool.
Yeah.
But I'm hopeful that after they've said they're extremely happy with the sales of their VR headset, I would hope that's an indication that they're going to double down on announcing some cool stuff for that. And so I'm, as someone that was really high on VR and then has kind of cooled on it because there just hasn't been much to do in it other than show people that haven't used VR before, like, here's the cool stuff in VR. I'd really love to see some ambitious stuff at E3, and I'm hoping that we'll get some of that.
So I will say I was shocked that one of my favorite demos at Judges Week was a VR demo.
Hmm.
There were too many VR things at Judges Week, and I mean, maybe there weren't. Maybe the fact that I have a good one is indicative of the fact that there were a bunch, and it was like a throw a spaghetti at the wall thing, and like something stuck. And that was a game called Echo Arena, which is an Oculus game. I forget who the dev is on it. I think it was, no, not Servios. Servios did the other things. The name, Ready at Dawn. It's a Ready at Dawn game. Lone Echo is the single player version of it, and Echo Arena is the multiplayer. And I'm going to like try to explain it because it's. I'm not going to try to explain it for too long. No one wants to hear me talk about fucking VR games. I know how podcasts work. It's a multiplayer VR game. It's a multiplayer VR game in which you're floating around in zero G and you can like propel yourself by kicking yourself off of things or like pushing yourself off of things, which sounds like it might make you nauseous. And I'm a person who has gotten nauseous in VR before, but I didn't. And you kind of grab a ball and try to throw it through a hoop at the end of a huge arena that you're kind of floating through in zero G. And that's all really great. Here are two things that make it better. Seeing another person in a multiplayer space in VR is still incredible. Like someone tilting their head and having them tilt their head feels really good. Like because there's something about real human motion that is unpredictable in a way that animation is not yet. two really good is one time Greg Miller had the ball and was floating through space towards the goal, and I grabbed onto him with one hand, then crawled up the back of his back, and then punched him in the fucking head and took the ball from him, and that felt really good. And then I tossed it downfield, and somebody else, Charlie Hall or somebody, scored, and we won that game. It was great. And, like, that interaction, it was also something I hadn't felt before in VR. And I played a bunch of VR things, but that sort of person, like, it felt really good to grab onto another body as it was floating through space and, like, have myself dragged along in that way.
Controls-wise, did you have your hands on a controller, or did you have those more haptic?
They're haptic. It's the Oculus.
Okay,
it's the Oculus,
awesome.
Like, half moons. Yeah. So it's, like, literally, like, grab and pull and grab and pull.
See, that's great.
And then just, like, hit him, grab the ball from in front of him, like, push off of him and go in the other direction, turn and throw the ball. And it felt really good. It was the Oculus headset, which means that my glasses barely fit in there, which is really frustrating.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was still a really fun time. There were a bunch of other demos that were very frustrating, and I'm very curious to see overall what VR feels like this year at E3. We've said this a lot. VR has had a year to kind of prove itself, and there were times during this past, at that Judges Week thing, where it was like, we got a really great narrative-based game for you. And like, all right, cool, tell me a story. And then it's a shooting gallery again. And it's like, pick one of these 12 different guns and then shoot these robots.
That's,
like,
your story. Yeah, which gun did you pick?
Right. I've shot a lot of robots. No, it was like, go into this facility and kill these ice pirates. And like, fuck, dog. Like, I've been killing ice pirates my whole life. This is VR.
I can't believe you were part of the genocide of the ice pirates,
I didn't
Austin.
Kill all of the ice pirates.
Wow.
I just killed all of them in my entire life. That's
I see.
All.
Okay. That's fair.
And then there was a few other VR things that were just like, the people who make Raw Data are also making a game called Sprint Vector that they showed off at GDC, which is like a running game.
Oh.
Where you're like racing. It's like a kart racer in that there are power-ups and you're running and picking your power-ups and using them. And there are some cool controls there.
But it's not on a treadmill.
It's not on a treadmill. So you're just running your arms up and down.
Oh my God.
It's not for you, Danielle.
All right.
And it was also just one of those vibes of just like, a thing that it reminded me was that VR companies are often very new to this industry.
Yes.
I think that their pride in their work is really good, but there's a level at which there were people who were like fake screaming at us and cheering us while we were racing, and like no one cared. Everyone wanted to see the game. Like, how is this working? But there was like a whole tournament set up for this thing, and it was just like, oh, y'all don't know that this looks like you're not convinced that your game can sell itself,
right.
Which is a shame because Raw Data sells itself, and like they didn't need people yelling at people while they were playing Raw Data. Raw Data is just like, it feels cool to shoot robots in VR and teleport around, like, it's interesting to me to see VR studios and developers and publishers like get their footing in terms of how do I sell this to somebody. Both, you know, the audience at home who can't play it and the people here who have to put it on and, like, figure out sometimes really difficult controls really quickly.
Yeah.
Any other VR stuff or any other experimental stuff that anyone expects to be at this show? More mid-sized small devs, right? Annapurna will be there.
Yeah.
Obviously, Devolver is doing their thing outside of E3.
There's like an indie mega booth equivalent.
Yes.
Something like that there, which is always fun. You know, it's fun to just at E3. Largely, when you walk around, it's hard to be surprised because you're mostly aware of everything that's gonna show up. There are some, you know, exceptions to that, like when you walk through like Sony or Microsoft, sometimes there'll be like one booth assigned to like one weird game that you've never heard of. And so that's always exciting, is like if you can come away from the show with like one or two games that, despite the fact that we're paid to do this, like you just, there's still no way to keep tabs on all that stuff. It's always exciting to have, like, when you've got like your 45 minutes of downtime in between appointments and you're stuffing a shitty turkey sandwich into your mouth, maybe you can find something surprising along the way.
I wonder if there's so many known quantities that never are the thing that I walk away from being excited, right? Like, the thing that I always walk away from E3 being excited about is someone says, hey, you have to go play this thing. It's on a kiosk at the Sony booth or something. And I'm curious where certain things will show up, right? Like, there was another game I played called Lethal League. Not Lethal League. Lethal League exists already. Laser League.
Oh.
Lethal League is the one with baseball bats. Laser League is this new one. It's by the devs who did Ollie.
Perfect.
Who are really cool. And their game is, I don't even know how to explain it. It's super weird. The name of that dev is Roll 7. And Laser League is a team-based game where you're, like, running around an arena that has, like, lasers in it. Obviously, Laser League. And by default, the lasers are not colored in. They're not your team's color or the enemy's team's color. But you go to it and say, no, that, now it's my color. And you're kind of doing Tron light cycles, but with lasers that are already set up in these different arena patterns. And it ends up being this really intense thing of mind games and special abilities. It's hard to explain without showing it to you, but it's really cool.
That sounds
and I
rad.
Want that to
yeah.
be a thing where I walk past a booth and hear people cheering at the match that's happening. It's just also one of those games that could be hard to explain to an E3 floor and get, like, competent teammates going, because even in a private, in a closed space, it was hard to get, like, strategies going. So we'll see.
You're going to have to pay somebody for that. You know, you're going to have to
pay me.
Be like,
I know how that game works. Pay me as your coach. If you're
at
E3, you find me. Pull me out of my meeting. I'll be at the Sony booth or wherever else. You grab me and you say,
chief strategist.
Yeah, chief strategist
Laser
for your
League.
Laser League team. So do that for sure. All right, what else? Let's actually think more broadly of stuff that we know will be there in some respect and what we think about it. Assassin's Creed. We took a year off. What's Assassin's Creed look like?
The last
this year?
One was actually pretty good.
I feel like that was
Syndicate.
Okay.
I'm not saying it was a revelation.
Fine.
But it was a lot
Wait,
better.
That's a different
than
Assassin's Creed.
Assassin's Creed Revelation 7.
Okay.
You know.
Got it.
Yeah. I'm just saying the last one was actually pretty good.
Do you think
they
shake it up, or
they
do you
took
think
that?
This
that,
is just a good Assassin's Creed game.
I think that one was just a good Assassin's Creed.
What about
Creed
this
game.
New one? What do you?
This
what do
new
you think?
One, I don't know much about it.
No one does.
I'm just saying. I don't know much about it, so I can't get my little little magic eight ball out. Not yet.
Okay. No one has.
I think I would like, you know, if they're not going to make a direct sequel to Black Flag, which I still find utterly bizarre that they wouldn't build on. But I think aren't the rumors pegging this new one essentially being no? The Black Flag team did. Did they do?
I think
Syndicate?
They worked on Syndicate. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Anyway, Black Flag. Part of what I enjoyed about Black Flag was not necessarily being on the high seas. It was it regained that sort of sense of exploration that I found so pleasurable about the. I didn't play the first game. I jumped in at 2 when people said, "Hey, it's good now." And it was that sense of exploration and adventure that's why, you know, 2, Brotherhood and Black Flag are, like, my favorites in those series. Because, like, 2, with Brotherhood, I just wanted more of 2, so I was fine with it just being, like, pretty much a retread with, like, a really, like, the Brotherhood mechanic was interesting. And Black Flag, like, captured that sense of adventure again. And so I'm hoping, we, from what we understand, it's, like, set in Egypt. Like, they're going to try and move it away from some of the mythology, although apparently there's still going to be present-day stuff. But however that stuff falls, like, I care far less about the mythology and the actual storytelling as much as, like, that sense of adventure and being in a place. Because I play Assassin's Creed games because I like the fact that they spend tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars building meticulous, beautiful worlds that I get to explore that aren't, like, present-day New York. Like, it's not Los Angeles. Like, it's somewhere that a video game should have no business spending that much money building. But because it gets a sci-fi conceit, that's, like, the way they justify it. And I'm okay with that if I get to explore somewhere I've never been. And so Egypt, that sounds interesting. That's not in video games. I hope they're able to navigate the racial parts of that in a way that is if not satisfying, is at least, like, I can get through it.
The thing's always frustrating there is, like, there is stuff to dig into there if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Egypt has a very specific relationship with Europe, even in ancient Egyptian times, the relationship with Greece and, like, what counts as an Egyptian and what counts as someone from Greece. Like, that stuff is fascinating. And, like, I would love for them to dig into that, even as, like, flavor. Like, even, like, there's a way to do that that like, recognizes that was the way the culture was stratified that is not necessarily, like, this is a game that's lecturing you about that stuff.
Yeah,
so
if you get to hang out with Cleopatra and Alexandria or something
that. That's the thing.
She's not what you expect. That sort of thing might be interesting. Yeah.
You think she's an alien?
She is an alien.
Are they? They're, what are they? Are they aliens? What's the
sort
of Assassin's Creed?
They're definitely from above. So gods, aliens, angels, you know, it's all.
Got it. Good. Maybe is, I think, Wolfen.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Stein from Bethesda, I think that's the one. I think that's my bet. That's my Bethesda safe play.
Because well, Bethesda's kind of a question mark right now, right? I'm trying to think, like, what all are right. they currently...
So they sent out this invite that has been passed around now a bunch. That was like, it was almost like it's Bethesda Land is what it was. It was like an amusement park map, basically.
Yeah, it was like a really cute art.
It's a really cute thing. And if you look at it, you're like, okay, well, there's Fallout, and maybe they'll do... Who knows if they're actually going to do anything for every game on this, but you recognize these are Bethesda's properties, both in terms of development.
Like, Fallout VR will be there, so yes, that's probably...
Good call.
That checkbox.
Also on this, there's Dishonored. There's, like, the world of Dishonored. There's Skyrim stuff, very clearly, Morrowind stuff.
Doom.
There's the Prey-like area. Prey just came out. Maybe there'll be some Prey DLC announced.
Hell yes.
There's
the all-lesbian DLC.
Right.
That's what I'm waiting for.
There's Doom very clearly in this. Maybe Doom stuff, who knows? But then there's two areas that are, quote, under construction, and one that I don't recognize at all. Did anybody ever figure out what that one is? Do you know the one I'm talking about, Patrick?
So do you want to hear the 4chan rumor that is almost assuredly wrong?
Is it Starfield?
Wouldn't it be cool if it was? Yeah. So Starfield.
Yeah.
The 4chan
talking about Starfield for a minute.
So Starfield is the one bit of truth that it has. You know, if we're taking this part with a grain of salt, is that it was a trademark that ZeniMax registered years ago.
Yeah.
The 4chan rumor, who claims to be a Bethesda insider or at least okay. like familiar with their schedule, is that Starfield is set in the Fallout universe, but takes place is basically future sci-fi Fallout set in. Like a Mass Effect-y, like going from planet to planet. Like,
right.
Like, who the fuck wouldn't want that game to exist?
Of course.
But that sounds like the kind of thing a fan writes on a message board, because who the fuck wouldn't want that game to exist? So I'd love to be wrong. I would love...
Me too.
Love but to be wrong about that.
The thing for me is, like, we've seen that Bethesda often will release or, like, announce a game and then drop it. That would be like, all right, Starfield's coming out this year? Like, I doubt it. I so much more believe that a Wolfenstein is coming out. And I don't... If Starfield is real, I don't imagine that they'll announce it until the year it's ready to come out. But maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
I guess they announced, you know, they announced Prey last year, and that came out in the, you know, the spring of...
Right, but that's not their... It's not their dev studio, right? That's their publishing house, right? So
correct.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we'll see. I guess how long has the Skyrim team, or I guess the Skyrim team went on to do Fallout? Is that the same team or is that a different team?
No, it's so there is so they one thing is that, you know, there's the primary Bethesda Game Studios. They made, you know, Skyrim, Morrowind, Fallout 3, Fallout 4.
Yeah.
They did open a Bethesda Game Studios like Montreal or something like that, but there was speculation that, you know, they were probably going to be working on like some of these mobile games that there'll be another mobile game. So I think that my guess is that the success of Fallout Shelter means almost assuredly there will be a mobile game announced at E3 this year. And so I guess I wouldn't be shocked
if that was one of them. That makes me
also
wonder if they're
It's about time for an Evil Within sequel to be announced.
Oh, good call.
And that game showed a ton of promise that it just didn't really capitalize on, except in a few circumstances in that game. But I would love to play a sequel to that game. So I'm hoping there's an Evil Within 2.
That would be cool. I'd be happy to see that. What else is on the table?
But God of War. Is anybody excited for it? I know there was like a really great trailer last year. Great, you know, great. With a grain of salt, it was very Murder Dad Viking,
but it
definitely looked interesting. It looked like a new direction for that series. I don't know. Is anybody here super into God of War, or was super into God of War?
I loved the first two, and enjoyed three as a spectacle. So I like the direction they're taking with the new one. At least, you know, on paper, I think it's a smart way of bringing back a franchise. Rather than just making a straight sequel in the way Microsoft has done with Halo and Gears of War.
Yeah, for sure.
Which is basically saying, like, okay, like, if you've played God of War, we've got a lot of what you like about those games, but we're like tilting the perspective a bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's God of War, but like if we're going to go make another one of these, like let's do something that feels like worth revisiting, or a reason to revisit that series. So from what I understand, that game is still pretty far off, so people should temper, but my guess is we'll see like actual gameplay of that at E3 this year. And yeah, I've always liked the God of War games, and I'm looking forward to seeing more of that.
EA's Star Wars game, besides Battlefront, think that shows up?
I'm actually a little excited about that.
Yeah,
I'm not
me too.
Lie.
That's Amy Hennig, who yes. had done a lot of work on Uncharted.
Naughty Dog stuff. She sort of she was one of the first developers there to work on Uncharted.
Yeah, on the
first
two Uncharted games,
yeah.
right? First three? No, she'd left at...
She left... It's a little unclear.
Three is her last.
Three is her last.
Three
is
her last. You're right.
Three, I think, Druckmann like co-wrote? Or
yeah, and then... That sounds right.
Yeah.
What else? Scorpio, obviously. What's up, Patrick?
Well, related to EA, Jason Schreier, he published a big article about Mass Effect this week that I want you to read.
Yep.
In addition to that, you know, he discussed in the article about another BioWare game called Dylan, which has long been rumored to be BioWare trying to make something Destiny-like as a shorthand, whatever that ends up meaning. And Jason, in a NeoGAF thread, said you will see that very, very, very soon, which implies to me that that game will probably show up at E3. And so I'm definitely curious to see what BioWare's take on something like that is, especially because Mass Effect Andromeda, for all its problems, it was built by a different BioWare studio than the studio that built Mass Effect 1, 2, and 3, and although there was a lot of creative exodus after that series finished, including Casey Hudson, who left after getting Dylan off the ground, there's a lot of talent there that worked on a lot of games that people loved a lot, and so them working on something, whatever that team is working on next, even though Andromeda was a disappointment, I think that could be something really interesting.
Do you think that they do the kind of... like sneak in the way of pitching that game is like, these are the people who made the games you love.
These are the people who made the good Mass Effects.
They don't say that, you know, they're not gonna. I could see them throwing the Andromeda team under the bus.
What if they
in that
literally
way.
Say, this is BioWare that didn't make Andromeda?
Well, they'll like, say that, but they're gonna say like, you know, the people behind the games you know and love, like the.
Well, it could be like from the creators of the original Mass Effect trilogy.
Right. Exactly. Yes. Exactly. any other big things? Scorpio, I think we'll probably see a headset from Microsoft. My gut says we'll probably see an announcement that Scorpio will work with multiple headsets, or that Xbox One will work with multiple headsets and not just whatever one has the X logo on it.
As long as it doesn't have a PS logo on it, yes.
Right, correct, yes, good.
Yeah.
Beyond Good and Evil 2?
Oh.
No.
He's already said it's not going to be there.
Okay. What else?
Is there anything? Here's a question, and I'll make it brief. But is there anything specific to Scorpio that folks are excited about besides the hardware? Are there any titles that anybody's super into?
The thing that's frustrating is and Patrick can back me up on this because we both did a lot of reporting around the PS4 Pro on the lead up to it. Everyone I talked to in the lead up to PS4 Pro, all the devs I talked to for background reporting, for source reporting, were not excited about it. They didn't do enough to get them excited about a thing. The rollout in terms of what the unit was, in terms of what the specs were, was too late for people to really get their heads around it quickly enough in terms of when they needed to start enacting stuff. No one I spoke to at any event or privately was like, this is going to be a big improvement. A number of devs I've spoken to have been excited about Scorpio, but they haven't really given me good reason to understand, outside of vague, like, it's powerful and I can do stuff with this, what that might look like. And I'm curious to see how Microsoft will pitch it.
Yeah,
I'm curious to see how they balance between, like, here's what Scorpio can do, but also realizing, like PlayStation 4 Pro, they're not leaving the Xbox One behind. And so the difference between PS4 Pro and PlayStation 4 games is noticeable. If you play a game like Neo, like the frame rate's a lot faster. Like Horizon is definitely a prettier game on the Pro, but it's not like make or break. It's not like I feel like I'm not getting the same game. Mm-hmm. And Scorpio is such, from what I understand, a much larger leap. I'm just curious how that plays out. Like, what are those differences going to be? If they're all 4K. Like, that's a little easier to swallow, but if it's like, hey, your frame rate doubles, that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I'm not much of a tech person, you know, it's always going to be me being sold on the games. Like, this Forza has a 12 planets of amazing roads mm-hmm. you can actually drive on, and they're all fun, and they weren't randomly generated. Whatever. I'm completely speaking hypothetically here, but something like that is something where the processing power is
right,
used to make something amazing and
Crackdown 3.
Yeah, Crackdown 3.
I have no idea what they're going to show. Buildings exploding. Crackdown 3. More zombies, State of Decay 2. Like, I don't know what the pitch is there. Better looking cars. Cars that we will fetishize even more intensely.
Cars you can have sex with.
That's it.
That's
it. Do you think
Scorpion.
Someone announces that PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds is coming exclusively to their console?
Yeah, that dude's definitely going to be on a stage, right?
I think he's on the Xbox stage.
Me too. I'm with you. Player X.
Xbox is the only one that has an early access program, which weirdly Sony still does not.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. Yeah, I think that's a big sell for Xbox. People just shouting, people screaming. Someone's going to take out, just shoot blanks in the air.
Somebody will shoot a chicken. There it is.
If you check under your seat right now, you'll all get a chicken dinner. Yeah,
Is this where we reveal we've been secretly contracted by Microsoft to do a stream of Battlegrounds?
Crowbar and Sickle.
Crowbar and Sickle are coming to the Xbox press event.
We aren't. No, they did not reach out. They did not make that offer.
Yeah.
Yet. Microsoft.
Exactly.
Scooter, you hear us. Okay.
What if they end up announcing that for Xbox, and then we said we couldn't do any streams of Battlegrounds, but then they have it set up at one of their booths.
Oh, what
they're
they
like,
have
you
it
want
set
to
up?
Stream your experience?
Oh. I'll clear schedule space for it. Let me look at my schedule. What can I drop? I don't need to do that. We'll figure it out, Patrick. There's some stuff here where we're walking around and talking. Fuck that. Let's go do some Battlegrounds. Crowbar and Sickle. Last couple of things. You know, let's just take two quick questions.
Okay.
I like this question. This one comes in from Wes from Memphis, who says, I've gotten a bit more and more cynical over the years about what E3 is and represents, but even still, every year I can't help but engage on some level with the cycle of speculation and hype. I've been doing this for half my life now. I'm 31. Many of the predictions I make are, I think, sensible. Some are very obvious shitposts. But there are always a few long-shot predictions I genuinely dearly wish would happen, despite knowing they definitely won't. Advance Wars makes my list every year for exactly this reason. This will be the year, I say. Surely. It's time. It isn't. My question to you is, what are your advance wars? As people in positions to make sensible or just jaded, to be sensible or just jaded about E3 more than most, what do you still let your heart get broken over?
3D platformers.
3D platformers.
Really great.
You're
going to
get Mario Odyssey this year.
This is the 1 year out of what? How many years ago is 3D World? 4 years ago?
Yeah, but you got Grow Up last year.
I get one every couple of years.
I think they're out there. They're just not good. Sorry.
Well, that's why I said really great ones.
Yeah, fair.
That's
fair,
why
fair,
I said
fair.
Really great ones.
Rob, what about you? Or Patrick, go ahead.
Bully 2.
Bully
Give it to
2.
Me.
Oh. Okay. You're going to let your heart get broken over Bully 2.
Bully broke your heart.
Mm-hmm. Rob.
I shouldn't even want this anymore. It's such a bad idea. But damn it, I wonder whatever became of those nice Kane and Lynch boys.
Oh, wow.
I wonder what fucked up heists are happening in the developing world.
You know?
Huh. Good question.
I'll bet you they're not going well.
No. God, what would make me hyped? The last time it happened was Phantom Dust. And y'all saw where that went. So, I don't know. What would actually move me? I feel like my heart is cold. Heart cold as assassins,
no,
as Jay-Z would say.
You played Zelda and your heart was warm.
Yeah, but I saw it. I was like, oh, it looks pretty good. Like, my heart can be warmed by a game.
Yeah.
Because
I got one of those last year with the complete surprise reveal of Resident Evil 7 being a first person more or less reboot with VR. Literally someone went into my soul and said, we made the game that you said you wanted us to make.
Yeah.
And then it turned out awesome and was really good. So I actually got to have that experience last year. And I would love to have that with Silent Hill, but
that'd be cool.
I'd like
you to have that moment, Patrick. Yeah. I don't think you're going to get it. I know Konami ain't here for you.
Oh.
I mean, they'll make another Silent Hill. I just don't think I'm going to get the Silent Hill I want.
You don't like pachinko machines? I think you're probably right. So, unfortunately, I don't know. Real talk, I've gotten a lot of good games in my life. I've gotten a lot. The last few years have been really good for the sorts of things I like. I've got a lot of cyberpunk games. I've got a lot of mech games. I've gotten some great RPGs. I've gotten some really good shooters. And, it's hard for me to be to complain that they're by some game need isn't being met. It's just that they're being met often in small ways all throughout the year and not like some big E3 reveal.
Wait, I can complain. I can remember an era when like sim games were kind of accessible and like mm-hmm. major publishers would make them. Like Ubisoft yeah. would like pour a shit ton of money into a U-boat sim, the Silent Hunter series, and they'd be uh-huh. like, "Yo, who here is hype about a U-boat simulation game set in the Battle of the Atlantic?" And I'm like, "Hell yeah!" And the problem is that like as the industry has shifted. It used to be that bring like half a room to their feet at E3, I would bet. And like now, if it was like, and we are bringing back Silent Hunter, and I'd be like right. on my feet. I'd be like, hell yeah! I'd be looking around. Everyone's like, what the fuck is a Silent Hunter? Like, is this like one of the big Buck Hunter things? Like, yeah. are they bringing that back?
But it's like stealth Buck Hunter, yeah, exactly.
But I've like gotten so nostalgic for sim games that normal humans could play because like everything is gone in this like DCS like Drew Scanlon direction where it's uh-huh. like, no man, I don't want to like fly these planes. I want to spend like 45 minutes doing a startup routine
right. that's
on
not
the
where
tarmac.
You, but that's not where you're at. You do want to fly these planes.
I want to fly these planes. I want to hunt like Royal Navy destroyers in the icy cold waters of the Northern Atlantic. Like that's what I want to be doing. Oh. But I also don't want to have to like take a 200 level course on like U-boat. Like U-boat management and like, you know, acoustic sensors to be able to play that. And yet that's kind of where things are at. So like, I don't know. I'm there's always this part of me that's like, I wonder what they're doing with the Longbow franchise these days.
Nothing, oh. Rob. No one is. I don't think they're going to show up on a stage.
You killed all the ice pirates.
It's because I killed
all
the ice pirates.
That's what it was, Austin.
It's true. I got rid of all the ice pirates.
It's actually your fault.
I am really reaching. I'm like trying hard at my heart of hearts to be like, what thing could be resurrected or what series has been put aside. I'd be really excited if Cyberpunk showed up from CD Projekt Red. Yeah. I don't think it will. I like TIE Fighter. TIE Fighter was a dope game. I'm good. Like, make a good game. I'll play it. I'll be excited when it's played. But like seeing the words TIE Fighter on a screen isn't gonna get me hyped.
You're not gonna be standing up cheering next to Rob with his Silent Hunter for a TIE.
Right. I'll stand up and cheer for Rob. If Silent Hunter shows up on a stage,
you'll be there.
Rob. Yeah. Silent Hunter.
It was for Rob.
Submarines. But like that's for Rob. That's not for me.
I get it.
Video games make us lots of promises, and there are promises that I'm willing to like give into, or at least I really empathize or sympathize when people really do get it. Like when a new Mario game comes out, even though I'm not a big 3D platformer person, like that means something for people.
Yes.
That suggests a certain level of craft and attention and budget and time will go into this. But it's rare that something like by name alone, outside of Phantom Dust 2, will win that for me. I think I've had too many Prey 2s break my heart, you know? That's all.
But then the real Prey came along, and it was so wonderful.
Okay.
So good.
I believe you.
Goaty.
We're
having the discussion now.
We're not having the discussion now. We don't have time.
I understand.
I just need to play back any time you talked about Zelda to win that conversation.
No, you're right. I'm playing that again now, too.
I know, it's good. I think Prey is good, too, for the record. We both like good games. Yeah, but I don't know. This is, like, hurting me, not having an answer for this question. I wish I'd had an answer.
It's also how many E3s have you covered at this point?
Not enough. Not enough for that to be a thing with me.
Really? I think it only takes a couple before it's like, all right, the E3 sheen.
Kind of falls.
We were talking about this in the kitchen a few minutes ago.
Sure.
Talking about how it's like Vegas with dirt bags, but not the fun kind of dirt bags.
Yeah.
It's like a very, it's such a business event. And once you're not just immersed in a world of exciting video games and you actually see like, okay, I understand what you're doing here.
Yeah,
this is marketing and that's interesting, certainly, but it's not hitting you on the same emotional level, I think.
There are things that I love about E3 when they're done the way that I like them done. Bethesda's event was really strong for me because it did a thing that I don't often see, which is they let developers get out and pitch their game. Like when Harvey Smith went out and pitched Dishonored 2 last year and explained what the dev team's process was and explained what their intentions were and what they were going for and how they were going about trying to explore it.
They did like fly-throughs through levels. Beautiful level design
kind of
stuff.
Deeply evocative.
Yes, yes.
And also really thoughtful explanations of what they were trying to do. That stuff, I love that stuff. But I don't know that that's, like, great for most people. And instead, the kind of PlayStation model of the last couple of years of, like, swelling orchestra, huge screen. Here is a trailer that really touches you. And that's it. I get why that works better, and I expect more of that stuff. But that stuff's just never going to hit me that way.
Yeah.
Put someone up there who's like is going to don't just put the words TIE Fighter up there. Put someone up there who's going to pitch me why a TIE Fighter game in 2017 really means something and like sells me on a vision. Like, and maybe I'll get excited, you know. But I just don't have anything in my catalog that's like I need another one of those.
Has a vision, Austin? If you want
Tell
visions.
Me.
David Cage has a vision.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's been Waypoint Radio. Fuck David Cage. No, David Cage has ambition and
Detroit.
And has made some stuff that I have played through. That's my take.
Yep. I'm right there with you.
David Cage has made some stuff that I have defended in the past. I was a Heavy Rain apologist.
I kind of am too.
I have issues with it, but I liked
Same.
It largely. There were a few sections of Beyond Two Souls that I liked.
The party's really cool. It's a really cool scene.
But then last year, that scene, that Detroit demo, where it felt like Cage did not have a clear understanding of the genre space he was working in, was very frustrating.
Also, he needs to stop introducing his new characters in these weird, like, faux tech demo teasers that are super weird. Like, why is the protagonist for this new game the sexy robot girl that had to like plead and beg for her life? Like,
her name was Kara. Thank
trailer.
You. Her name was Kara, and she didn't want to be a robot slave. And then that nice man who built her and was kind of hitting on her, and wasn't maybe so nice, like decided, I won't erase your memory. You can stay a conscious robot. Is she actually in that game? Is she actually in Detroit?
She's the detective, man.
No, she not the detective I saw in the demo last year. It was a
I
dude.
I swear to God, this is
dude detective.
It was a detective robot, not a lady detective robot.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe she's in it also. I don't know. We'll see.
Maybe they're one and the same.
Maybe there's a branching path and you'll wind up as one or the other. Who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. One more question
All right.
Coming in from – this was quick. We'll just do two more questions. This one comes in from Mac, who says, hey, Waypoint, long time, first time. Is VR finally in the process of fucking off? I don't think it is. I think it might. I think this E3 is going to be another testing ground for like, can they convince people that
a year
later it's still relevant? It still deserves to be on a stage. It still deserves your attention, even if maybe it's not. Like, there are lots of games that end up on stages that don't necessarily make big financial splashes, but are prestige products. Dreams was on a stage a few years ago. I don't think anyone thought that Dreams was going to sell millions and millions and millions of copies, but it was like a cool thing and people at Sony believed in it and wanted to show it off. And I can see VR taking that space a little bit, but, you know, we'll see. All right, one more actual one here from Jonathan, who says, do you know who makes up the live audience for major press conferences these days? E.g., how many gaming press / mainstream press / investors of retailers, YouTubers, invited fans, non-journalism influencers, and other company employees? I get more and more skeptical when announcements get unanimously ecstatic cheers from what sounds like to me like an on-cue applause. It feels at least slightly less authentic than, say, some of the leaked reactions we've seen to surprise guest appearances or trailers or Comic-Con discussion panels. P.S. I distinctly remember one time a couple of years ago after Ubisoft's press conference, Ubi had a guy interviewing, quote, random fans about their reactions on their own post-conference stream. The first guy he pulled aside, asked his impressions, was one of Ubi's PR guys in Canada I had met at multiple press events before. He loved it. That's alleged. That's according to writer Jonathan. That's not me. I didn't say that. I'm not making that claim. Anyways, thanks and keep up the good work. I think it's a mix. It's always been a mix and is still a mix. I think Sony's gone out of their way to do more fans than normal.
There's usually like fan rows basically at Sony press events. When I used to go with a much smaller site, I would be mixed in a lot more often with investors, like at small game demos or something, you know, in a room of like 12 people you go in and you get shown something. And those are very different. It is a very different atmosphere when you're with German, you know, 70-year-old who's like, well, I don't know if my kids are going to like this. I don't know. Whatever.
What's
what
the ROI
hell is this
on this?
Shit you know, journalists who maybe are exhausted and or hungover, but generally are
positive.
Fairly positive. Or that, fairly interested in what's going on.
That rad lady from the Bethesda conference last year who just, like, loved, I think it was Elder Scrolls Online, like, boy, she loved Elder Scrolls Online.
Real into it.
It's such a fine line, and I recognize my own hypocrisy here because her reactions were genuinely moving to me. Like, the fact that someone was that excited about Elder Scrolls Online made me happy for them.
Yeah.
But it can also feel the other way, where it's like, oh, don't lace the crowd with people just to get cheap pops. Like, I want people to earn applause. There are moments that should be applauded at events, and I want, like, and I, again, this is not internally consistent. I don't think that this is a defensible position, but in my heart of hearts, I want people to earn the standing ovation separate from just it's they're there and you like the thing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, this is going to be the first E3, or at least the first E3 in a very long time that has entire fan component.
Totally.
Isn't that correct? So
totally.
I wonder if it's going to be a little bit different.
I don't think your E3 badge gets you any access to
right the actual
the
major press events.
Yeah,
I guess in terms of being on the show floor,
yes.
And who is going to be freaking out about something versus who's going to be like, all right, I got my notebook.
I'm
and
really
I'm going to throw
curious
up over
about
here,
that.
But here's my notebook.
Like, I'm really curious if we get more smiling faces in the line to play Battlefront 2 than what we would normally get, which is like, oh my god, I should have made this appointment and I didn't make this appointment. But I told my editor I was going to write
practice
about Battlefront
neutral.
2.
Yes.
Right, exactly. That practice, that sort of like, this is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of dragging myself here as someone who often just like, what'd you think of it? I thought it was interesting. I'm definitely going to talk about it with someone.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I got to say. Good luck. Have a good show.
Yeah.
Like, versus fans who could be like, I had a great time. And I don't know, maybe E3 needs a little bit of that because it hasn't had an energy the way I think it may have had in the past. So.
Yeah.
I think that's going to do it for us. If you have questions, not about E3, because it'll be a while before we get to those, send them to gamingadvice.com. I mean, I guess, look, if you have questions about the stuff happening at E3, you can also send those to gamingadvice.com, because we'll look at those before we record the podcast that we do next week at E3. Again, you can find all of the stuff that we do at waypointadvice.com, and you can find all the stuff that we do during E3 at waypointadvice.com. You'll also be able to listen to the podcast that we drop and also see the videos that we do at waypointadvice.com, at youtube.com/waypointvice. We'll be live streaming while we're there every night at twitch.tv/waypoint. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/waypoint, facebook.com/waypointvice. You'll get updates from there. We're planning to like do a lot of video, and most of that will go up on our YouTube, again, youtube.com/waypointvice. And look for that stuff, because I've looked at our schedule, and it is...
It's a little bananas.
It's a little bananas. I think Danica might drag Patrick to Koreatown.
Oh, I hope so.
And do some anime shit.
I truly hope so.
I think that might happen. So
I think that needs to happen.
Also, the place we're staying in has a haunted...
Yeah, you're staying in a haunted mansion.
We're staying in a haunted mansion. If I look at my calendar,
room.
It says next week, it says at the top of the thing, like, stay at Eclectic Mansion in L.A. It has a doll room.
God.
Patrick told us he wants to stay in the doll room.
He's going to sleep there.
He wants to sleep,
under the dolls.
Under the dolls.
Yeah.
Covered in dolls.
Yeah, yeah. Their eyes have to all be facing him or something's wrong.
Exactly.
You know?
So we're going to shoot a lot of video. So look forward to that.
I can stay in my apartment, right?
No, you have to stay in the second doll room.
Right.
And it only has one doll, but it's the second doll ever made.
Oh, my God.
That's why it's called the second doll room.
Oh, my God.
It's haunted.
So I'll just stay at my place.
No.
Sounds good.
You're like, I'm going to stay on a park bench, actually.
Okay, you can stay there, but you have to take the doll.
Nope. No. It's going to be like a
it's part of it. We already signed the Airbnb thing.
It
was the whole thing to get the deal where they said, one of you must take the doll. And we were like, oh, Rob. Rob lives in L.A. It'll be easier to give him the doll.
Yeah, he has less of a commute.
Less of a
doll,
commute with the doll.
You know?
We don't want to take the doll onto the plane. The whole thing.
Exactly.
It goes to Rob. So look forward to all of that. Danielle will be here. Mike Diver will be in the UK. Both of y'all
will have Natalie as well.
Natalie will be here also, doing the home team stuff. So
yeah, home team.
Keep it moving. Keeping articles popping up.
I just got excited for our home team. Like I'm wearing a little softball jersey.
Yeah.
I'm batting. You know.
Shout outs in advance to our freelancers who are going to be hustling all next week, and shout outs to Tim for producing this episode. You can find Tim on the internet at timbarnes451. That's true, and you can find info on Bowen, who does the song "Miss You," our theme song, at waypoint.com/BOEN. Look out for that too. Give it a listen. It's a good. That's a good song to get pumped for E3. I think
it is.
That whole album is actually really good for some E3 vibes. So
miss you
E3. Miss me. No, I'm excited about E3. So we will talk to you very soon. We'll probably talk to you tomorrow if you're listening to this on Friday. If you are not listening to this on Friday, hey, look, scroll up on your phone or whatever, and look, there's another episode probably
a bunch of stuff
ready to listen to. Catch you in the future. Danielle, what do we say to them on Friday?
Be good. Be good at it.
Peace.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.